Hi. So a while ago, some people asked me to rate some horror movies for Halloween. I'm a bit late, but I did over like the past 4 weeks accumulate a few movies that I guess are like Halloween-ish. At first, I started off watching horror movies, and then I just kind of got into. I watched two that were just kind of Halloween-esque. So I'm just gonna jump right into those. So, first movie I watched was The Autopsy of Jane Doe. 2016. It's rated R and it's 1 hour and 26 minutes long. It's almost all of these are on Netflix. The last one isn't, but Netflix described it as ominous, gruesome, and gory. The synopsis is when father and son coroners investigate the death of a beautiful Jane Doe, they find increasingly bizarre clues. It doesn't say what the clues are or what the clues are to. Just increasingly bizarre clues. So it has an 87% on Rotten Tomatoes, but the rankings that I gave it were a 6 out of 10 overall, a 7 out of 10 for scariness, and a 3 out of 10 for storyline. The storyline, there wasn't really much there at all. It really wasn't. The most interesting thing about the movie was the stuff that they found on her body. There was no storyline other than that. It would just. It wasn't a great movie. There was way too much suspense way too early on. The sound effects and the editing didn't line up quite right. There was one scene where the cat in it like meowed, but the cat didn't like move. So the sound effects and editing weren't quite there. It was also really confusing. There, like, nothing was being explained properly, and there were just like, it, nothing was happening, and nothing was being explained. Like, they found one thing, and they were like, "Oh my gosh!" And then they moved on to another thing. Like, it wasn't that. They didn't explain the whole process of what the certain thing meant. Like they found a flower, and that was like the most explanation that anything got in the movie, because it's a paralyzing agent, and they figured out that someone must have forced her to eat it or something. But that's as much explanation as anything got in the movie. Like, they burned the cat because the cat died. How the cat died? We don't know. It went into an air vent and died. Why did they burn the cat? We don't know. Why not, I guess? So, it was really short. It felt short. It was really long, but it was so short. That makes no sense. But, like, it felt like nothing happened, but everything happened. Like it was going by really slowly and then really fast. So, and it really didn't, the storyline, it just wasn't there. Like there was no beginning, there was no middle, there was no climax, there was no end. It just kind of, hey, here's a body, it's weird, and now you're gonna die. That's pretty much all that happened. There was like nothing for the first hour and 15 minutes, and everything interesting or important happened in like the last 15 to 30 minutes of the movie. So it, I didn't, it was okay to watch once, but I don't think I'd ever want to watch it again. I might play it like in the background while I'm doing something else, but I wouldn't like sit down and want to watch it. Oh, also, by the way, throughout the whole podcast episode, there will be spoilers. So, I mean, if you want to skip over the spoilers, I mean, go ahead. But it's they're the movies aren't that some of them are that interesting, or you've probably already seen them. So the next one I did was the 2016 movie Hush, which was also on Netflix. It's rated R and it was 1 hour and 21 minutes long. And Netflix described it as violent, scary, and suspenseful. The synopsis is a deaf writer who retreated into the woods to live a solitary life must fight for her life when a masked killer appears in her window. Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 93%. My rankings were a 6.5 out of 10 overall, a 4 out of 10 scariness, and a 4 out of 10 storyline. I didn't really have many notes on this. There were underdeveloped, pointless characters. There were pretty much only two characters that were consistent throughout the movie, and only one of them, like, built as a character. So yeah. It was a bit predictable at times. Not like too predictable, but there were certainly times that you were like, I saw that coming. There were a lot of unnecessary details. By the way, I'm reading my notes and I watched this a while ago, so I don't remember all of the unnecessary details. I remember like her f in the beginning of the movie, they spent like 5 minutes with her talking to her friend and her sister and not talking to her ex-boyfriend. Like there she talked with her friend for a few minutes about how her friend was going to learn sign language and take sign language classes. She talked to her sister about how she was doing okay in the woods and about her ex-boyfriend. And then there, I kid you not, there was like 2 minutes total in the movie where like she was either debating or calling her ex-boyfriend. And he didn't appear in the movie at all. So it wasn't really, the characters weren't necessary. I don't think the friend was really necessary either. The only thing that her friend was involved in was that her friend's husband came in later in the movie and like distracted the murderer, and but like other than that, he really didn't have a use. He ended up dying. And there was no real climax either. I guess the maybe it was like her friend's husband dying. I guess. 'Cause there wasn't really, I can't think of anything else that would be the climax. Also the different endings were a bit strange. Like she's a writer and the like she it like symbolized, I guess, like her like thinking up different endings for the story that was her life. And she was like, if I go that way, I'll die. If I go this way, I'll die. What way can I go that I won't die? That's all I really had on that movie. Yeah, that it was okay. It was okay. It was more like thriller than scary or horror. Like, there were a few jump scares and it was like suspenseful, but it wasn't really like scary, you know? Okay, the next one that we did, or I did, was the 1991 movie Silence of the Lambs. It's rated R, and I just now realized that I didn't put the running time, so I'm gonna look that up. Okay, 2 hours and 18 minutes. The synopsis is, oh, first, Netflix describes it as chilling, dark, and suspenseful. The synopsis is FBI trainee Clarice Starling ventures into a maximum security asylum to pick the diseased brain of Hannibal Lecter, a psychiatrist turned cannibal. Rotten Tomatoes, it got 96%. My rankings was a 7 out of 10 overall, a 2 out of 10 for scariness, and an 8 out of 10 for storyline. It was longer than all of the other ones. You can, I mean, like running time and just kind of watching it. It was a really long movie. I sat down like 4 times. I watched this in like 4 separate pieces. It just wasn't, it wasn't like that, like short. It was really, really long. But it was good, so aged well, but it also didn't. That's one of my notes here. It aged well, being like there was a trans person in it. Okay, saying that out loud makes it like seem bad. Like, just 'cause there was a trans person doesn't mean that it aged well. But the fact that it was a trans person didn't really bother anyone in the storyline. But it also was really anti-feministic. It wasn't very accepting of girls. Yeah. It was a bit unrealistic. A bit, yeah. There was like one part where like the collateral for, not collateral, the bribe for Hannibal Lecter to give Clarice information was like he got transferred to a less maximum security center with like windows, and he got to go for a week every year to a beach, and that's just kind of not really anything. The synopsis covered like half of the story. Like, there wasn't even, not only was she sent to talk to him, but like there was a whole nother plot going on while that was going on, and there was an unnecessary subplot about, like, so the main plot was that Clarice was talking to Hannibal Lecter, and then like 20 minutes into the movie we find out that it's her boss sent her there to talk to him so they could get information on a serial killer. And there was like a subplot where like they spent like an hour, a total of like at least 25 minutes in the movie, going over just the one victim's death. Like Clarice went to her house and stuff, and it was just a bit unnecessary. And she, like, there was the plot of this, I think it was a senator's daughter was kidnapped by the serial killer. And I just think it was, there were many things that were really unnecessary about it. It like sort of hints at a second movie. I'm not sure if there is one. I think there is, but I'm not sure. If there is, though, I should look that up and see if there is, because if there is, I want to watch it. It was more weird and creepy than scary. Like, it was just strange. The serial killer was a trans man who was kidnapping people and wait, I don't, was it this? I don't know. There was a trans man who was kidnapping people and like skinning them and like making a bodysuit out of their skin. But now that I think about it, I don't think that they were the serial killer that they were looking for. But they might have been. I don't remember. It just it's like a long episode of Criminal Minds. It really is. It really is just like a long, long episode of Criminal Minds. Just with different characters. 'Cause it very much has that same vibe to it. That there's like a team of people trying to figure out who kidnapped the girl. All right, the next one is the 26 movie The Boy. It's PG-13 and the running time is 1 hour and 38 minutes. The synopsis is a nanny is hired by a couple to look after their boy. She's shocked to learn that her charge is actually a doll that the couple treats like a human. The Rotten Tomato score is currently, when I first watched the movie, I think it was 38, but I didn't write it down, so I looked a few minutes ago. And it's 30%. A 30% on Rotten Tomatoes. Now, horror movies don't often get good ratings, but that's just really bad. My rankings were a 4 out of 10 overall, a 4 out of 10 for scariness, and an 8 out of 10 for storyline. The only reason scariness was as high as it was because I did not like the way Brahms looked. I didn't like it at all. So, I've seen it before. Like, oh, excuse me. I've seen it like before I watched it for this. I watched it with my friend Audrey. And we just thought his name was hysterical. So, yeah. I didn't remember much of it though. So, it was predictable until almost the very end, which basically like if you watched it, there were a few things that you're like, okay, didn't see that coming, but the rest of it was pretty much like, yep, saw that one too. So the characters were a bit underdeveloped. Now, this one, the only character that I thought was developed was, you know, I don't even think. Yeah, no, never mind. They were all really underdeveloped. Like, there were also really unnecessary characters, like Greta's ex-boyfriend, Cole, comes and he's there for some reason. And Brahms doesn't like him.
And Cole ends up smashing the Brahms doll, and Cole was really unnecessary. Where was I? When you find out that Brahms is still alive, the whole story just changes. 'Cause earlier on, there were a few things that were oh my God, is it Brahms? And yes, just not the doll. There's one scene where she's in the shower getting ready for a date with Malcolm, the delivery boy, and her dress and necklace get stolen out of the bathroom, which I don't know why there's a hole in the bathroom into the walls. Bit creepy, Brahms. Excuse me. Brahms is just really creepy in general, and he kind of ruins the story. When you find out that he's real and alive and didn't die in a fire when he was 8, it's just kind of it's like, oh, well, it's not just a possessed doll. It's just a literal 38-year-old man just walking around in walls, moving the doll. That's not like it just kind it would have been scarier if Brahms was possessing the doll. There were a few jump scares in it, but it wasn't that scary. There weren't any ah moments. There were oh moments. Sound effects that I just made. The end was really dragged out. She when they were trying to okay. This is gonna sound all of this is gonna sound weird unless you watched the movie before. When they're trying to escape Brahms when they're in the walls and Malcolm gets hit on the head or whatever, it you could have just brought Malcolm with you. You could have opened the door together and run out of the house together. You didn't have to just kind of leave him there. Also, why did the parents feel the need to It was just kind of yeah, and you'll know what I'm talking about if you've seen the movie. I just don't wanna bother to explain that. The kiss at the end with Brahms was creepy. That was the creepiest part of the movie when Brahms has a list of rules, and one of the rules is a kiss goodnight, and it made me really uncomfortable to watch the scene where he was like, "Can I have a kiss goodnight?" And she was like, "Okay," and it was just really uncomfortable. Ugh. Okay, moving on from that one. The next one. This is a personal favorite of mine. The 1991 movie, The Addams Family, also on Netflix. It's PG-13, which I thought it was just PG, but it's PG-13. But I like now that I think about that, that makes sense. It's 1 hour and 50 minutes long, and Netflix describes it as deadpan, irrelevant. I read that as irrelevant. No, it's irreverent and comedy. So, the synopsis. When a man claiming to be Fester, the missing brother of Gomez Adams, arrives at the Adams home, the family is thrilled. However, Morticia begins to suspect the man is a fraud. With the help of a lawyer, Fester manages to get the Adams clan evicted. Gomez realizes that Fester is trying to swindle the family fortune and he must challenge him. Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 64%. My ranking's 10 out of 10, 10 out of 10 overall. A 0.5 for scariness. It's not scary. And except for a few characters in it, but it's not scary. And a 9.5
out of 10 for storyline. This storyline was like way better than like all of the other movies. All of the other movies had like sucky storylines. It just kind of, it wasn't it in the other movies, but this storyline is actually there, and like you can actually tell what's going on when it's happening. It was not like scary, but like you knew what was happening. Okay. Notes. Lurch always scared me as a kid. Lurch did always scare me as a kid. The butler was just like, he wasn't it. Excuse me. The lines in the movie were so funny. There were a few lines that are just, like, wonderful. Like, they're, like, depraved orgy, romping with the gate. There were just, like, thing, you're a handful. Thing being, you know, like, the hand that's just the severed hand that walks around. I just think that the lines were great. Cousin It, when me and my sister were kids, my sister and I, when we were kids, we thought Cousin It was the funniest thing. Like, it was, the whole movie is funny. It's, like, one of my favorite movies. But, it just, Cousin It, like, with his high-pitched, like, non-words. We just thought it was really funny. The fencing scene at the beginning with the flips and the pen was a bit much. Like, when, Tali was there and Gomez was, like, sword-fighting him and then steals his pen. It was just, it was a bit much. the green screen when Thing is running. And the hurricane scene were just really bad. The green screen at all. Like, the green screen, you could tell when there was a green screen. Like, yeah, it was 1991, so the editing wasn't great back then. But it was, like, it was kind of funny to watch. Ooh, excuse me. Yawning. Ah, gosh. Yeah. So, the green screen wasn't quite... There were a few parts that might trigger motion sickness. Like, they were, like, going down the slide to get to the vault, and, like, it goes on for, like, a full 30 seconds, and it's just really, like... They're moving fast down a slide that's, like, twisting and turning, and I had to pause it there and just kind of, like, watch it in separate parts. It was a bit much. The relationship between Gordon and his mom isn't quite right. There were certainly a few times when, I was like, that's a bit questionable for an interaction between a mother and her son. Please don't do that. Yeah. Why does the elementary school have a dressing room behind the stage? Like, at the talent show thing? Why? There was, like, a full-on, like, dressing room with, like, mirrors and stuff. Why? What elementary school has that? And what was the occasion for that talent show play thing? Like, they had, like, a class singing, but they also had two kids performing Shakespeare with, like, fake blood that sprays on everyone. and death. So I just want to know what the purpose of that was. The Mamushka scene. The Mamushka scene is that was another thing that my sister and I really liked about the movie when we were little. Was the Mamushka scene. The dance was just funny, and the fact that Fester just kind of went along with it. It was great. The crying children scene. I just like children suffering. That sounded really bad. I don't like children. I just thought it was funny to have Morticia Adams being a kindergarten teacher, making a bunch of children cry. Kind of funny. The Girl Scout scene and the FedEx scene. The FedEx scene when Thing is running through the office with his wagon of boxes and just throwing them at people. And the Girl Scout scene. I just love Wednesday's comeback to the Girl Scout when the Girl Scout asks if the lemonade that they're selling is made from lemon, real lemons, and she's like, yeah. And she's like, okay, I'll buy a cup of your lemonade if you buy a box of my Girl Scout cookies. And then Wednesday is like, are they made from real Girl Scouts? And then the Girl Scout walks away. I just thought that was funny. Yeah, so I just kind of love the movie. And at the end, when you find out that Gordon, who pretended to be Fester, actually is Fester and had just been brainwashed, it was kind of oh wow, fun. Yeah. And just that it was like a nice happy little ending. Why did Morticia's thing that she was knitting have three legs though? That's my only question about that, the ending of the movie. Why did it have three legs? You're both human, it's not gonna have three legs. But I mean it could, but that's a very slim chance. Okay, last one we did wasn't on Netflix. The 2005, 2005 movie, The Corpse Bride, not on Netflix, but when I looked it up, it was described as animation and fantasy, which, gee, thanks. It's rated PG and it's 1 hour and 18 minutes running time. The synopsis is Victor and Victoria's families have arranged their marriage. Though they like each other, Victor is nervous about the ceremony. While in the woods practicing his vows, a tree branch turns into a hand and drags him into the land of the dead. The hand belongs to Emily, a girl who was murdered by her love and now wants to marry Victor. Victor must get back above ground before Victoria marries the villainous Barkis Bittern. It has an 84% on Rotten Tomatoes. My ranking's like a 7.5 out of 10 overall, a 0.5 for scariness, and like an 8.5 for the plot line. There were certainly some holes in the plot line that were missing, and it didn't make much sense. Like, it made sense, but not like a lot of it. So, disclaimer about this one. I was like doing stuff when I watched this. Like, I was baking something, I think, and I just kind of was going back and forth between the two things, and I had like started it and stopped it and started it and stopped it. So I was like watching like maybe 5 minutes at a time. So I also wrote the notes for this like 4 hours after watching it. So there's not gonna be like everything here, and it's not gonna be in order, and it's not gonna be in detail. Yeah. Emily reminded me of Tinkerbell. because Tinkerbell like can only show one emotion at a time, and Emily very much reminded me of her in that way. Because like she was happy, and then when she found out that Victor was seeing Victoria, she got jealous and no other emotion, and then she got sad with no other emotion, and her emotions changed like really fast. So it she I just my thing my head went, hey, that's kind of like Tinkerbell. Why did Victoria like Victor? Just because he could play piano. Honestly. Like, they met one time before they were supposed to get married. And Victoria walks in on him playing the piano. And she's like, oh my God, I kind of like you though. Like, he was playing piano. It's not. That's. Okay, whatever. It's a cute movie. It is a cute movie. It's like a nice little it's a nice little thing. It's not like it's a musical kind of. Like there's songs in it. And my sister tends to like musicals, but she didn't want to watch Corpse Bride with me. I don't know why. Lord Bittern 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 Bitten. I don't know how to say his name. Lord Bitten Bittern Lord B. I'm gonna just yeah. He was obviously the one who killed Emily, like from just like his strange like introduction and being his plan to kill Victoria after they got married, and like his silhouette in the song where they're explaining what happened to the corpse bride. Like, it all just kind of. You pretty much predict that. You're like, ah. Oh. Okay. There wasn't much of a happy reaction, or like any reaction at all from Emily when he drank the poison. Like, yo, the guy that killed you just. Like. Just die, and you're not gonna have any reaction at all to that. Like another like example of her being like Tinkerbell. She was just mad. She wasn't like happy when he drank the poison. She didn't even like grin. The only reaction to it at all was like all of the dead people being like, let's kill him once he's dead. I don't know what. They like brought him into a closet or something. Or something. Like in the church. And then like the cook had like a fork or something. And like it implied like they were gonna kill him, but he was already dead. So like what the heck did they do in there? So yeah. Victor's dog was a bit unnecessary. It was cute, but unnecessary. Like, Scraps was just kind of there. Like, he had no purpose in the story. I mean, the most important thing that he did was, like, bring Victor back to Emily. But, like, led him there. Not, like, brought them back together. Like, he just led him there. So, it was unnecessary. It why were all of them white? Why were they all white people? It was hard to tell what race the dead skeletons were, but like all the living people and the fleshy dead people were like white. There were no like black or Asian or indigenous or any other people. They were all just like white people. Like the most variety they had was like French guy, but that's still white. It's French white, but it's still white. It's just kind of like that kind of movie that you only need to watch once. like actually watch once. You kind of know, once you know what's gonna happen, it's like only watching it for the songs. It's not really, there's not really much else to it. 'Cause once you know that the guy is like who killed her, it's just kind of boring. So I mean, it's not boring, it's just kind of like, okay, yeah, it's boring. I mean, some people like it, that's totally cool with me. I mean, if someone else wanted to watch it, I'd be willing to watch it with them, but I wouldn't like take time out of my day purposefully to watch it, as I would like The Addams Family, which I love. Yeah, so that is going to conclude my rating of horror slash Halloween-esque movies 4 weeks after Halloween. But, you know, we're getting something out there, and it's not like 5 minutes long. If someone asked me to do it, I did it. They didn't ask me specifically to do it for Halloween. I was going to, but, you know. So, yeah, I hope you enjoyed. I will try my best to put something out every Sunday from now on. And I really need other suggestions, so feel free to like DM me on Instagram. No, but really, I do need ideas on what to talk about. And if there's like something that you want me to like make a whole episode on, like go in detail on, like I will. Just let me know any way you can or want to. So, yeah. I will talk to you next Sunday. Goodbye, my children, and have a wonderful rest of your day, night, afternoon, morning. Have a rest, good rest of your life. Okay, bye.